Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
We were in Zanzibar for a couple of days this week, and we went to the water's edge. There was a large wall, probably twice as high as this stage, and the tide was in, so the water was a little bit deeper. And so all these young men and boys were doing all these contests to run and jump off the wall and do dives and flips and all these things, just enjoying the cool water on a hot evening. And it was amazing to me to see that just like when I was a young man and a boy, when I was fearless and crazy and did a lot of those things, we kind of egg each other on as men. You know, you can't do that, you can't do that, or we try to one-up each other. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, I can flip better than you, I can dive further than you, I can run faster and get out there further than you. And so all these guys, it kind of became a show. So they got to one spot on the water's edge, and everybody was in a circle around them, and it became a contest. Do you guys know American Idol? You know, where everybody's watching to see and cheer for who does the best jump and the best dive. And it became one of those moments for me that tied into what I want to share with you today, because has anybody ever said something that you thought was really bold with your words, but then somebody said, oh yeah, prove it? And so that's what a lot of these guys were doing. Oh, I can dive better than that. I can do two flips. I can run. Some of these guys were, I won't do it because I'll fall. But they were doing these handstands on the edge and then trying to, you know, dive in. And so they were saying, oh, yeah, prove it. Prove that you can do it. And so I don't think any of us like to be put in a corner or put in a place where we have to prove what we say with our mouth sometimes. We just like to say words sometimes but not have to back them up. And I think one of the key areas of our life where talk doesn't cut it is in our faith. I think we've got to go more than just words today. It's got to be actions to back it up, to prove it. And I think there's times where we have to step up and prove that our faith is actually true. Too many times we say we love Jesus, but there's no fruit in our lives to back up what we say with our words. And I think one of the key areas that we have to do that in proving our love for God is in our actions, in our lives, how we live out our faith every day. There are people that all of us will encounter in our lives and in our circles of influence that Pastor Jimmy and Pastor Priscilla, Pastor Pam, they're never going to get to minister to, but you will with your life and how you live your life. And so it's so important that we're able to prove our love for God. And I think just about everybody in a room like this on a Sunday morning, I hope, would say that they love God, and I hope that's true, but it's more than just saying we love God. I believe that the scripture we're going to read today challenges us to prove it. Everybody say, prove it. All right, awesome. So how do we do that? How do we prove our love for God in a way that tells God and also tells others we're serious about our faith? How many of you like to be around people who say one thing and do another? We don't like that, do we? We like people who back up what they say, who are genuine in their actions and in their words. And so how do we avoid just going through those religious motions? I think if we're not careful, we treat our religious things like a checklist of, I went to church on Sunday morning, check. I served, check. I gave in the offering, check. And as long as we check enough boxes, we can live and do whatever we want to during the week. And that's not what God has called us to do, not to just check off a religious checklist and go through the motions and have nothing in our life to back it up. And so I want to show you and answer that question from God's words today. And God gives us the greatest commandment. If you have your Bibles, it's in Mark chapter 12 where we'll be reading today. But Jesus tells us what the greatest commandment is. He said it's to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. How many of you believe that kind of covers everything, right? Our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So let me set up this scripture before we read it today. It's 3 days before Jesus is going to be crucified. And he's been traveling around and he's having debates and conversations with people. And there are these religious leaders that are up in arms. They're upset. They're upset with what Jesus is, who he says he is. They're trying to prove that he's not really the Messiah, that he's not really the Savior. And they go into panic mode. They're scared because of what is about to happen. And Jesus has proven them wrong. He's showing his miracles time after time after time. And so there's numbers of people. There's large crowds in town for what was called the Passover Festival. And so you have to imagine these large crowds. You know, Jesus is shutting these leaders down. He's proving them wrong. There's miracles taking place. All these things are happening. And then this conversation that we're about to have in Scripture takes place. They come to Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is most important? So listen to what Jesus said. He said, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So he answers the question of what the greatest commandment is, but he's not finished. Everybody look, it says the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody ever heard that before, love your neighbor? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. The second is this. So it ties into the greatest commandment. Those two things go together. And listen to what he finishes saying. He says, there is no commandment greater than these. So I love what the religious leaders replied. They said, well said, teacher, as if Jesus needed confirmation of what he said was right. He said, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that's more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. You have to understand, they were used to bringing sacrifices to the altar and burning offerings to be able to earn God's love. And so Jesus said, when Jesus had answered, saw that he had answered wisely, listen to what Jesus said. You are not far from the kingdom of God. So he's saying, if you get this greatest commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying you're close to God, that you're in close relationship with him. And then I love this last part of the scripture. Look what it says. It says, from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. I just love that. I just think it's like they walked away like this. Okay, Jesus, we won't ask you any more questions. We've been shut down too many times. And so the bottom line of this greatest commandment that we see here today is that we're to love God with everything in us, every part of our lives, our heart, that's so much of us, our soul, that's so much of us, our minds, we use our minds so much today, and then our strength, our endurance, our perseverance. And that loving God, listen, it means not trying to compartmentalize our lives. Because what too many people do today is we have a God section of our life. It's our Sunday morning section. It's God here. But then we have our work section. We have our school section. We have our entertainment section. We have our play section. And we have all these different sections. And instead of God being over all those, we just have God in one of those. And that's not what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means that God is over every aspect of our life, our work, our finances, our families, our dreams, our goals, our visions, our hopes, over all of that. And so I want to look at this idea today about the love of God, that it's an active love. It's acting it out. There's proof in it. And it involves our participation, because sometimes when we think of the word love, we think of it as an emotion, don't we? That I love you, that's an emotion. It's a feeling that I have towards someone. And there is an emotional aspect to love, but how many of you know when you love someone, there's actions to prove that you love them? If you're married and you love your spouse, you have actions to prove that you love your spouse. If you have children and you love your children, there's actions to prove, how many know what I'm talking about, that you love your family, right? So if you love something, it's more than just emotions. And I'll talk more about emotions in a moment, but here's the question at the heart of this. How do we prove our love for God the way we should? How do we prove that we really love God? Let me give you another verse of scripture that helps confirm this for us today in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And I think we have these up here on the screen for you too. It says, this is love for God, to obey his commands. Now, I just want to pause right there for a moment, because when he's giving us this, this is love for God, to obey his commands. It's almost like God knows what we're thinking. We're going, oh, great, I have to obey commands. I don't want to obey commands. I want to live life myself. I want to enjoy life. If I obey God's commands, then I can't enjoy life. Life can't be fun. So look at the last part of the verse. His commands are not burdensome. It's almost like he's answering our immediate thoughts that we have when we read that scripture by saying, they're not hard, they're not burdensome, they're not difficult. So here's the first point I want for us to have as a takeaway today from this scripture. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to obey God. I think a lot of people today have an emotional attachment to God all over the world. It's like God has a Facebook page and we like and follow him on Facebook. And we have this emotional attachment to God. We know who he is. We know he's good. We know he stands for good things and he does good things and he means good things and he loves people. And we have this emotional attachment to God, but we don't have a real deep love for God beyond an emotional attachment. And emotion is good. I hope that Christians love God with their emotions. But how many of you know this morning that emotions are not enough? Have any of you ever done something or said something out of emotion and it was wrong? Anyone ever gotten angry and you said something and you hurt someone out of emotion? You see, if we live our lives only based on what our emotions lead us to do, we're going to make some bad decisions. We're going to say some things we shouldn't say. We're going to do some things we shouldn't do. Or we're going to not do some things that we should be doing if we're only led by emotions. Let me look at one more scripture with you this morning, John chapter 14, verse 23. And this is straight from Jesus' words. John 14, 23 says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do you see that word obey again? He will obey my teaching. And then he says, my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and he will make our home with him. Verse 24 says, he who does not love me, this is Jesus cutting right to the chase here. He says, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. He says, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I know that sounds kind of hard and harsh from Jesus, but he's saying if you're living a life that is not obedient to God, the Father, and his ways and his commands and his words, then you don't love him. So you can't say this morning, I love Jesus, but live a life not obedient to his word. Are you with me this morning? And that's not me saying this. Don't throw stuff at me this morning. This is straight from Jesus' word, from Jesus' heart today. So before I get any further, I want to make something clear in this message today because some people get messed up in their theology in thinking about this. Listen to me this morning. You don't earn God's love for you by obeying him. Hear me this morning. God's love is not earned. You don't earn it. Too many people think if I do enough good things, if I do enough things on the list, if I go through enough of the religious motions, then I'll earn God's love for me. Can I tell you, Jesus died on a cross before you ever deserved or earned anything. Here's what I'm talking about this morning. We show our love for God by obeying him. So we're not earning it. It's the proof of our love. We show our love for God by obeying him. That's the proof. It's in our obedience. And I know that that seems basic on the surface. But when I talk about this, why are there so many people who call themselves Christians but don't obey him? I think every one of us in this room can think of someone. Don't hit your neighbor. Who say they love God, but they struggle, they have trouble obeying his words, his commands. Why are there so many people who feel that it's okay to say they love God and still live for themselves instead of him? And can I tell you, this is an all over the globe issue. People everywhere struggle with this. Every culture, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter. People struggle with this thing, and God is calling us to a greater level of our faith and our walk with him through obedience. So let me give you some reasons why I think people say they love God but don't live it out for him. Here's one. They don't recognize the benefits of obedience. I think we don't recognize the benefits of obeying God because when we think of obedience, we think of, you guys know what a straitjacket is? Like, you know, people that are insane, they put them in this jacket and they tie it up so they can't hurt themselves, right? And I think too many times we get this idea of living out and fully selling out to God means we're in this religious straitjacket and we just can't do anything. We can't live life and we can't enjoy it. But that's not the case at all because there are some benefits to obeying God's commands. And so people always want to know, what's in it for me? Well, let me tell you what's in it for you for obeying God's commands. Here's the first one. His commands are there for our protection. How many of you like to be protected? You like to be safe, right? His commands. How many parents are here this morning? Any parents? I have four kids at home. I brought my oldest one with me, but I've got three young kids at home. And so we have rules in our house that our children are supposed to follow, like clean your room, get your schoolwork done, don't be disrespectful or fight with each other, right? We have rules like that that are in our home to make life easier, to have peace in our home, and to really teach and to train our children as they grow up. But then we have other rules in our house that are there for the protection of our kids, like, don't go play in the street, right? Don't run with scissors. Don't touch the hot stove. We have rules in our house that are there to protect our children. Are you following me this morning? And so we have to understand God that way as our Heavenly Father is, that some of the rules He has for us are there because He loves us as our children and He wants us to be protected. So we can't look at it as we can't do things. We look at it as God protecting us from certain things. And I'm sure many of us here can tell of times when we got hurt when we were disobeying our parents, right? I have this scar on my lip that you can't see because I wear a beard. But when I was a little boy, I didn't grow up in church and I didn't know God or Jesus. And so I snuck out of my house with some friends and it's pitch black. It's dark outside. You can't see anything. And we're outside. And next thing you know, I hear a little boy say, "Everybody run." And I heard a glass shatter. So apparently somebody had taken a rock and thrown it through a window or done something they weren't supposed to do, right? And so what did I do? I ran in the dark, not seeing anything. And I woke up in the hospital. I'm not sure if I hit a tree, a car, a house, the yard, the road. I'm not sure what I hit, but I woke up in the hospital with my face all messed up because of what I hit. I had to have surgery on my mouth, my teeth, my lip, had staples and all these things. And that happened, I tell you all that, because I was outside of the protection of the rules of my house that were there for my protection. You understand today? So some of those rules are there for our protection. God has given us commands to follow, and they are for our benefit. And I can tell you there are so many times in my own personal experience that when I listen and obey the word of God, I've been spared a lot of headache and a lot of heartache. But I can also tell you the times where I've disobeyed the word of God, and I've had a lot of headaches and heartaches and disappointments. But it's more than just avoiding those things that make obedience worth it. They're there. The Bible says that God came to give us an abundant life, or life to the full. That's the life He wants us to live. He wants us to be a happy life, a joyful life, a blessed life, because that's the way God designed it for us to live. So here's another benefit to obeying God. God's commands are designed to give us wisdom. How many have ever needed wisdom beyond your own understanding to make a decision? You see, the Bible speaks of a wisdom that's only from God. And it says that if any man lacks wisdom, we can ask God and He'll give us that. And I remember as a young man, I'm starting to get a little older now, but as a young man, I thought I knew everything. I had the answer to everything. Nobody could tell me anything I didn't already know and already could tell them how to do, right? But now as I'm getting older, I'm learning as I'm getting wiser and more mature that I have a limited understanding of things. I have a limited knowledge, limited abilities, and I know that to navigate this journey of life, that I need a wisdom from above that's greater than my own wisdom, that I can't do it on my own. That we need a wisdom that's greater than our own understanding, deeper than our knowledge. And the Bible says not to lean on our own understanding, right? Because it will let us down just like our emotions will. So I love this definition of wisdom that I want to share with you this morning. It says, wisdom is the capacity to see things from God's perspective and respond according to scriptural principles. So what does that mean? It means looking beyond our own blinders of what we see and seeing things from up here the way God sees them. And then responding not according to our emotions or our reactions or our wants or desires, but responding to what the Word of God says. And so I promise you, if you respond in that way, if you see things the way God does, it'll save you from many difficulties in this life. And it's what helps us handle these difficult circumstances and situations that come our way. So I could go on and on about the obedience, benefits of obedience, but let me look at some other reasons why people don't live out proving their faith. They filter their level of obedience through their own convenience. As long as it fits what I want to do, as long as it fits my schedule, as long as it fits my lifestyle. In other words, they'll obey as long as it doesn't cause them to make real big changes in their life. we use this phrase, have their cake and eat it too. People want the best of both worlds. They want to live on both sides of the fence. They want to live out for God and receive all the blessings of God, but they want to live with one foot in the world and receive all the benefits that the world has to offer. And we can't live our lives on both sides of the fence. It can't be convenient for us. Or here's another thing we do. We rationalize that, well, I'm not as bad as the next person. Well, you should have seen where they were last night. You should have seen who they were hanging out with. You should have seen what they were doing. You should have seen what they posted. You should have heard what they said. And you compare yourselves to them and say, well, I'm better than them, so I must be where I should be in my faith. Can I tell you this? You're always going to find somebody who's not where you are in your faith below you. That's not a healthy barometer to say where you are in your relationship with God by comparing it to someone else. It's a dangerous trap that many of us fall in today. Another thing we do is we have this imaginary whiteboard that we make two lists on. We have a column and we say good and bad. And I know we don't do this for real, but we do this in our minds. And we say, oh, I've done this many good things and this many bad things. And as long as the good outweighs the bad, then I must be good enough. And can I tell you, God didn't call us just to live a good enough lifestyle. Yeah. He didn't call us just to be good enough in our faith. He didn't call us just to barely scoot by, you know, just barely getting through in our relationship with him. He's called us on a pursuit, on a journey to go all out for him. Here's another reason some people call themselves Christians. It's because peers or role models that they follow speak of God, but then don't show obedience in their own life. I think all of us, when we're new in our faith or young in our faith, we find somebody that we watch that is a person of faith. And I know this happens in our culture a lot where there's a movie star or an athlete or an artist, a musician that comes out and they get on a stage like this and they accept an award like Pastor Pam got and they say, the first thing I want to do is thank my Lord and Savior. Anybody ever seen people do that? But then you watch their lives and you listen to the lyrics of their songs and nothing in their life or the lyrics of their songs back up them thanking their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so what happens is we base our faith on those role models because we think, oh, they love God, they thank Jesus, they did all this stuff. I must be able to live like them and everything's okay. We can't follow people like that. We can't base our theology, the measure of our faith, on how other people live their lives, because what that does is it gives admirers permission to do the same thing, to live the same way. And just because someone has a platform doesn't mean we should build their theology around how they live and what they say. Can I tell you, you never know who's watching you. I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord at 19 years old. I was a young man. I was about to get married when I first went to church and got saved. And I was getting married. I got married very young, and I did not have a father in my life growing up. I didn't know my dad. And so when I started going to church and I got saved and I was about to get married, I started watching the older men in our church. I started watching how they treated their wives. I started watching how they served. I started watching how they talked about the pastor and how they did things and how they were around each other, because I was basing what being a godly husband and a godly man looked like by watching other people. And can I tell you, you're not going to like this. Most people don't like this, but when you take the mark of a Christian, when you say you're a believer and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, people start judging you. They start watching what you do, how you say it, the things that you talk about. People are judging everything, and they're going, wow, they say they're a Christian, and they're watching for you to prove it with your words and actions. So you never know what kind of an influence you're having on somebody else's life, because you may be the only Jesus that they see and that they hear. It's so important that we prove our faith. Let me give you another reason. On the other end of the spectrum, and it's just hypocrisy. You heard the word hypocrite before? There are some people who just say one thing and deliberately do another thing. Those are hypocrites. They say they're people of faith, that they love God, but they do very outspoken, outlandish things that go against everything that God calls us to do. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do all these things, but then they show up to church on Sunday with their Bibles and they go through the show and the routine like, hey, look at me. You know what I'm talking about? Those people just love the show, but they don't really love God. Don't be a hypocrite this morning. Don't go to church and talk the talk and carry your Bible around and have all the outward appearances of being a Christian and be viewed and respected that way, but not really love God. with your actions. See, when you look at these things, it's not a real shocker that there's a lot of people, including Christians, who don't think obeying God is that much of a big deal anymore. But it is a big deal. I want to tell you this morning that God says if you love him, you'll what? Obey him. You'll obey him. Lip service isn't enough. Words are not enough. So here's a few final thoughts I want to give you this morning before we pray. God wants life service, not lip service. God wants life service, not lip service. How many of you know anyone can talk a good talk today? Anyone can put on a good facade. They can play a good game, can't they? We can put on a good show, but God wants life service. Here's another one I want to give you today. Real love for God and real love for people. It doesn't say, what can you do for me? It says, what can I do for you? Too many times it's all about us. Me, 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 me. How many of you, our favorite person is me, right? And here's what's happened is in our culture, it tells us, you know, go to this place and get this because it's for you. It'll benefit you. It'll help you. This is going to make your life easier. This is going to make you richer. This is going to do all these things. And we do these things because what's in it for us? And here's what happens. We've brought that mindset into the church today, and we go to a church going, what are they going to do for me today? Are they going to do the songs I want to sing? Are they going to preach the message I want to hear? Are they going to get out at the time I want to get out at? Are they going to do the programs that I want to be a part of? And we go, what's in it for me? And can I tell you, we should show up to church and say, God, you've saved me, you've delivered me, and I'm here to do whatever it is you ask of me to do. That's real love today. And how many of you know there's a huge difference in those two ways that we live our lives? Here's another one. A Christian's life should be living proof of their connection to God, to our Heavenly Father. It's living proof of our connection to God. So can you say you love God this morning? Then the proof is in your obedience. Do you truly love people? Do you truly love your neighbor? Then the proof is in the way you live your lives. So what should we do with all this? Let me give you some answers to that. The answer is pretty simple. Are you ready? This is profound. I brought this all the way from Texas in the United States just for you. Start obeying. Start obeying. You have to start somewhere, right? I've got good news for you, and I've got bad news for you about this, though. The bad news is this. You can't do this on your own. You can't clean up your act and just make some better choices and do some things on your own. You need God's help to live this out, right? But here's the good news. God will help us in both of these areas. God will help us. He gives us the power. We have the Holy Spirit to give us discernment and to lead and guide and direct us. Listen to what Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says. It says, God is at work within you, listen to this, helping you want to obey him. How many of you know you got to want to, right? So God will help you want to obey him and then helping you do what he wants. I think we ought to wake up every day and make this our prayer. God, help me want to obey you today and help me do what you want me to do. How many of you know that's a good prayer to start your day? That's what God is saying here. Because it's just a fact of life that we'll really never be obedient to God unless we want to be. We'll never be obedient unless we want to be. You can't want these things and want God things. Those two things don't go together. You have to want one or the other. And God knows this. He knows our hearts. He knows your thoughts before you ever think them. He knows your decisions before you ever make them. God knows, and he wants to help us want to honor him and obey him. He wants to help us with every part of it. So when we come to the point where our obedience to God is done out of love for him, can I tell you, it becomes more natural. It's not forced. You don't have to, when you get in a tough situation, you don't have to go, oh my goodness, how am I going to make this decision? No, if you're truly living out an obedient life for God and a natural love for God, then it's easy to not react by cussing somebody out or saying things you shouldn't say or getting mad or whatever it is. It's a natural byproduct of what's already inside of you. And think about this. If Christians really got serious about showing our love for God by obeying him, not only would it benefit us because we would understand all the great things God has in store for us, but just as importantly, those who don't yet know Jesus would see a bunch of people who are not content with just talking about God, but they'll see a group of people who are on fire and sold out and living out everything that God has for them. And people will see that being a Christian is more than just going to church and saying you're a Christian. They'll see that God works in people who love him and changes their lives, and it's more than just words that come out of their mouth. And maybe, just maybe, because of the way you live your life, somebody will consider Jesus for their own life because of the way you live yours. I believe this. A transformed life should look just like that, transformed. When I got saved at 19, it was noticeable. The people who I hung with, I didn't hang out with anymore. The things that I said, I didn't say anymore. The places I went, I didn't go to them anymore. And there were people in my life that knew something was different about me because of the choices and decisions I made and the words that I didn't say. They knew because I had a transformed life. And this is what it means to become a Christian. It means handing over every aspect of your life to be transformed. Say this with me, all or nothing. That's what God's calling us to today, all or nothing. He's saying go all in, press all in. And when I had to move, I moved 2 years ago from Oklahoma to Texas in the United States. And when I moved, we had just bought a house that we thought was our dream house. It was our forever house. We loved it. We had a nice backyard. We had nice bedrooms. We loved this house. And we were only there 6 months when God called us to move to Texas. And when I moved to Texas, I had to sell that house to somebody else. But I couldn't keep the parts of the house I liked and bring them with me to Texas. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what it is when we sell out to God. You can't keep parts of your old life and bring them with you anymore. It's all or nothing. You got to leave that stuff behind and sell out to him. Well, here's another concept. It's like we treat Jesus like we're just renting a room to him. We rent our Sunday morning to him. Jesus, I'll pay you rent and I'll go to church today. But we don't rent out Mondays or Saturday nights or Friday nights. Or maybe we rent out some areas of our life, but we won't rent out our finances. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to tithe. You see, we can be guilty of picking and choosing parts of the Word of God that we want to apply to our lives and leaving the other parts behind that we really don't want to mess with. But that's not what it means to be all or nothing for Jesus. We can't treat God as a renter because God is an owner of our lives. So what do we do when we hear a message like this? I know it can be kind of hard. It can kind of step on your toes, right, a little bit. But this is straight from the Word of God. This is straight from Jesus's words today. So what do we do when we hear a message like this? This is a good time to do some evaluation. I call it a spiritual gut check. It's a time where we evaluate our own lives and we listen to God and we hear what God is trying to say to us about our own lives, of some areas that we need to get right with him. Because you may be a Christian here today. You may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've got some rooms that you haven't completely sold out to Jesus. You've got some things that you're still holding on to that you haven't sold out to. And can I tell you, you can't just say it with your mouth today. The proof is in your actions. So here's my final takeaway, and I want to pray with you today. Our highest calling as Christians is to learn to love God with every part of our lives. That's our highest calling as Christians today, is to learn to love God with every part of our lives, because he tells us the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I want to pray with you this morning. And before I pray for what I preached about today, I've been preaching now for about 15 years, and I made a commitment to God that every time I shared his word, I'd give people an opportunity to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And so as you hear a message like this and you talk about living out your faith for God, some of you may be here and you say, well, I haven't even committed my life to him, so how can I live out this faith that I don't have? And so I just want to tell you, today is your day of salvation. Amen. Today can be the day that you came in one way and you leave differently than you'll ever be again in your life. So if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Robert, I'm not living a life that's honoring to God. I know that there are some things and I've got some sins, and I want to be free of those. And I want to commit my life to live differently than I'm living now. And I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I just want to ask you right where you are, would you slip up your hand so I can pray with you this morning? Anybody at all here this morning? Don't miss this opportunity. Don't want to miss this chance. Maybe you're here this morning and this message has really dealt with you a little bit. We call that conviction, right? It's convicting your heart a little bit. There's some guilt there that's stirring up, or some concern that's stirring up, and you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm a person of faith, I've accepted Jesus, but I've got some areas in my life that aren't honoring to him. I've got some things that I need to commit to him and lay aside and leave behind. And you just say with me this morning, I want to go all in today. Would you just slip up your hand right where you are so I can pray with you? Thank you. Hands all over this building. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me this morning and let's just pray. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for what you've done in this place today. I thank you for your presence that's here. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes in and does business with our souls and our hearts today. I thank you for that feeling that some are having today to say, God, you're right. There are some things in my life that are not honoring to you, and I want to go all in today. And so, God, I thank you for every person here today that says, I'm all in. And God, I pray right now for those areas in their life that are not honoring to you, God, that you would give strength, you would give courage, you would give boldness, God, that you would give wisdom and discernment. Maybe we need to walk away from a relationship. Maybe we need to quit going to that place. Maybe we need to quit participating in that certain thing. Whatever that is, God, give boldness today by the Holy Spirit to lay that aside, to cast it at your feet, and to say today, I'm going all in for you, God. God, would you bless your people today? And I pray that you give every person here that's a believer an opportunity to share the gospel with someone even today and this week by their actions. May the Ocean Church prove it, not just with their words, but with their lives and everything that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.